تدعو سوى الله.
Get your name, but morning to everybody. And I want to thank this wonderful opportunity.
Okay, sir. I think you're correct. That's what we should have done, was to make sure that we introduce the people who are here, and you also introduce ourselves.
Okay.
You're correct.
Okay. So, can I start?
Yes, you can start.
Okay. My name is Ndanda Zofringa. In and out, they call me Didi because it's much easier that way, you know, to call my name. But basically, I just want to explain more about myself. Yes, I'm a military veteran. But at the moment, I'm in the venture of a foreign business.
Okay, Chief, in introducing yourself, you only say the name, just the name and where you come from.
Okay.
In terms of the structure that
you present,
otherwise
you
take the
role. Yeah, like I said, my name is Ndanda Zofringa. I'm coming from the company called Jigiza Productions. Yes, I'm a military veteran as well.
Thank you. Yeah, can we start from that and come this side and then go there? Right at the back, next to KB. Yeah, the first one,
Mr. KV,
then
just come here. Thank you. My name is Masasin Choli, MKMVA Gauteng.
My name is KV Mapasa, MKMVA Gauteng.
My name is Lulu Noenda, from the Eastern Cape, from the Chapter City, the Eastern Cape, of MKM Veterans.
My name is Luke Wilgale, MKGA, Western Province.
Alfred Moose is my name from the West Province, MKMDA, Chepeton.
I'm Kifo Yuma Tegeti from Houghton, MKGA.
I'm Nick Fender from the Department of Defense.
I'm Brigadier General Osumo Masondo from the Department of Defense.
I'm Rafael Rafa from the Department of Defense.
General Venus from Ringford, representing the Chief of National Defense Force, General Nicholas.
Major General Sojimolo from the Department of Defense, Human Resource Management.
I'm Brigadier General Masango, Department of Defense, Director of Military Veterans Affairs.
I'm Kennedy Solo, Department of Defense, Affairs.
I'm Brigadier General Painter, Deputy Chief Service Corps, Department of Defense.
I'm Mulalo Mabala, Provincial Chairperson in MKMVA, Western Cape.
Johannes Mungaba, MKMVA, Gauteng.
Chair Magafiti, MKMVA, Western Cape.
John Del Monte, South African Legion of Military Veterans.
Admiral Lucas Buckers, Council of Military Veterans Organizations.
General Colin Doyle, Chairman of the Council for Military Veterans Organizations.
Jali and ex Kobatang MP.
Benjamin Judy, MP, Portfolio Committee on Defense.
I'm Lucas Delimo, MP, Defense Force.
Pamela Nombego Daños, MP, Transcendent Commission Defense.
General Neil Knoll, retired. I'm the Vice President of the World Veterans Federation.
Monty Roy, CEO of GetMet.
Laurie Akemo, MP.
John Skippers, Member of Parliament.
Nelson Diana, Member of the Committee, MP.
And you will Africa Sharp to MKMVA Africa.
Peter Hendricks, MKMVA Western Cape.
Kwasana Alex Shabalala, Military Beneficiary Coordinator.
Thank you very much. My secretary here, Sir Mugamro, is the one that you have been communicating with. He's not here, probably having to look at the program. I'm the chairperson of the Joint Standing Committee of Defense. They call me Comrade Chen, but my name is Dan. I thank you, and we can be able to get on our way. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chair.
By the way, just for the record and for the order, the process that we are going to follow, each speaker will be presenting for 20 minutes. As we have done, we try to ensure that those problems that have been made from the national task force, each problem will be given 20 minutes. And the national office will be given 20 minutes. And all other stakeholders, as and when they make their presentations, will be given 20 minutes. So we want to make sure that we give time for discussion, questions, and services, and so on. So we would really request our guests to be very committed. Some of the submissions seem to be similar. And as and when time challenges us, we can be able to try and put together one or two provinces, because the transmission might be over to you.
Thank you, sir. To save time, I think there is a submission that I have, which is on the text document. But what I will do, I will just try to unpack it so that maybe I can clarify the whole concept. Like I said, this is not a new concept. This is a concept that is happening to other parts of the world. But I think it's an opportunity where maybe the South African, especially South African military veterans, have only maybe as the beneficiaries of the project. But the whole concept, because my company is specializing in film industry, and we've been very active for the past 12 years. And my last project that I did last year, I think I was working with General Mose on the retreat detachment. I was doing production management there. But I'm a man of talent. I do produce, I've done directing, I've done a lot of things. I'm a film activist as well in terms of transformation. But since we know the nature of our industry, how it's structured at the moment, it's not favorable. Maybe because there are limited resources. So my company for the past 4 years, I mean, we've been investing in this idea, we've been moving around. I mean, other people here, I think about 90% of people which are here, they are familiar with the project. I've presented the project in many platforms. And also I've submitted in the last previous, I think at the time that Kara Asmal was the chairperson of the portfolio committee, I also submitted the project for consideration. But basically, just to cut it straight, it's the end product is about to start the defense film office, but we cannot just go there straight. So there are a number of we have to do a lobby, which we managed to do it. In terms of the film industry, I'm talking about the commissions in the film industry, KPI commission and other commissions, they welcome this idea. And also, not only KPI commission, but other commissions, like Joburg, Durban Film Office, because those are the offices that are operating in the film industry. But to go to our goal is to capacitate military veterans, and their situation at the moment is lack of skills, most of them, not all of them. Then you'll find out that maybe they are not in demand in other sectors of development. So as a filmmaker, and the industry that, I mean, South Africa is old as 1900. We are older than Hollywood. We've done a number of productions before Hollywood. And when Hollywood, developed, this industry, was developed by the soldiers that were coming from the First World War. And the number of films that were produced then, even in the 40s and 50s, the Dangos never only one. And even, so that shows that this industry really, it's an industry that is appealing to everybody. Not only military veterans, but it's appealing to everybody. It's the only industry that can accommodate everybody. But in terms of...
Mr. Nguyen is speaking to submission A1. Submission A1. Sorry, I should have indicated A1.
Yes. Okay, now going back to the specification, how this is going to unfold. We really target people that are on the database. Why people on the database? Because people on the database can be able to reflect their skills, what they have. For an example, because our aim through this office if maybe there can be, because there is no law, that is saying that, okay, we can be able to use military bases. But believe me, I mean, when I was working for Cricket World Cup in 2003, same camp that we're using at Bodrum, they were shooting Home Alone. So that shows really that there is a demand, you know, from other producers of the world. But the idea is to grow the industry by expanding the cake so that the new role players can come in. So the whole idea is to sell the idea to all the producers of the world. They might be speaking in Japan or Korea or whatever country, to attract them to come and spend their budget down here. And what we will do, we'll be able to provide that infrastructure. But when we're providing that infrastructure, it has to be provided to military veterans, because at the end of the day, if it's not that way, it will be difficult, because they have to benefit out of the whole process. For instance, if maybe it's a war movie and then they need an Amari, we've got a lot of Amari, it's easy to have that person, I mean, from the database, to pull that person from the database. If maybe we have got someone who can fly the charter, we've got those using the database, we can utilize some of them. So those are the things, that those are the opportunities which I think we can be able to exploit. Yes, now, coming back, going back to the control and management, it has to be regionally structured, because I remember there was a film shoot that the Yugoslavians, they wanted to come down and do that movie here to another facility house, but unfortunately, they had a very nice budget to spend. But unfortunately, it didn't materialize, and we see a lot of them. But now, if we look at regions like whatever, Limpopo or Gauteng, what we do, we work through commissioners, and they will help us in terms of marketing the locations, and they'll be also helping us in terms of if we manage to attract that, in terms of how to unpack that, how to make that plan to materialize. So that's the question that we have to look at it. And also, my company, because I've got a track record in terms of filling industry, I want my company to be in the forefront, because this idea, we've been investing in this idea for the past 4 years. And so the question of management and control is very important. And then also, we're talking about the aspects within the military veterans. Like I said, that people in the database, with what aspects, which are on the military database that you can utilize for film shoot. And for a lot of filmmakers that they started filming, which they are not using now. So those are the expertise that we have. And of course, the question of training, I think, is the most important one. Because what do I mean by training? Because if you receive a script, and the producer will tell, okay, this is the script that you want to do, and this is the budget. Now, what you have to do, below the line, for a person that is called production management, then the production manager will be able to break the script and all the requirements of the film shoot. If the shoot it needs this and helicopters and what, then we hire them to the film industry. But at the same time, now the defense is sitting in a position that they can't generate money, but within this structure, we can be able to generate money. So that's another thing. And then, of course, there's a question of self-sustainable. It can be able to sustain on itself, because if one shoot, I mean, they are coming up, I'm talking about war movies, I'm not exaggerating, they will come in and spend a lot of millions, you know. So really, it's an industry that can sustain itself, it's an industry that can grow. You don't have to go and look for money. And it's worth now, because the film studio also is coming down, and the film studio is going to be allocated along the Kaigisha next to 95. So they still have unlimited opportunity that we can be able to exploit. So also, I've mentioned the question of these offices are going to be provincially structured because of veterinary bases throughout the country and veterans throughout the country. And then, of course, there's a question of implementing agents. Like I've said, that in the film industry, you have to work, you know, with companies within the film industry, because NSDF and Cape Film Commissioners are the statutory bodies that have been set up by government in order to develop the film industry, and also for the question of the local content, because the quotas are not equal. So that's another opportunity. Of course, this process is going to be monitored. It has to come up with where all the time for the progress report, you know, and how far people that we've empowered, how many people that we have trained, the question of impact, you know, in terms of return on investment, all those things. So there must be a progress report that is being conducted all the time. But of course, the comment date, we need to have a comment date maybe when this thing can start. It's something that I cannot say now, because we're in a phase where, in reality, I think if you look at our document, we go in terms of phases. I think everybody's got that information. Really, the question of phase one, which we've managed really to consult and to gather information, and we've spoken to a number of people, and they didn't say that it's a good idea or a bad idea, but people then raised their concerns, the question of security. So it's something that really we have to look at it. Maybe this is not an opportunity for mutual, you know, those type of things. So those concerns, I think they are very important, but it's a question of really we find a way, how can we work together. But of course, in phase two, like I said, that also now we are in a phase where we have to throw up a memorandum of agreement, and those memorandum of agreement, I think people which are sitting here, most of them, they have to be involved, because we are really serving different interests. And in order for us to come up with a really the workable plan, we all have to participate. How can we do this thing together? Because we see opportunity. Really, we have to have got a memorandum of agreement that can be drafted maybe for an attorney. And those memorandum of agreement, really, we can be able to take it to the minister to say, okay, Minister of Defense, look at them. And then maybe also the minister can mingle with the Minister of Arts and Culture about these opportunities. And why I'm saying so, because recently, there's a sitting treaty that has been signed with the team. Yes, still a working film city, because I spoke to a British commission yesterday, and they said that no, it's not yet signed. But the point is, the Minister of Defense and Minister of Arts and Culture, they've shown interest in that film city. But really, as a military veteran, it may be my minister is really showing interest. So we have to come up with the means and the ways how to come up with a workable plan in terms of development. Or in terms of development. So those are the things that I think we have to look at it. And I think just to close this my presentation, because I just want to keep it short. It's something that really, because the film industry is working seasonally. Now it's winter. You can't shoot in winter because the equipment is technically. So most of the shoots are happening in summer, and it will be wonderful if maybe we can say, okay, this is the summer that also we want to make sure that we attract these work producers of the world, and then they come and look at our opportunities, and within a short space of time, film industry, one movie can employ even 20,000 people at one go. So if you are the minimum, if you for the short selling budget for the movie, just a movie that I would produce, you'll employ about close to 200 or 100 people. Technical people will be 100, because you need all this crew, you need all this expertise, and to work in the film industry, it's like a military operation, like I've said before. You always go extra mile. But Yes. But another opportunity, there is a symposium that is coming in next year. All the commissioners of the world, they will be coming down here in South Africa, Cape Town. So it's an opportunity also to present, to say, okay, this is what our the military veterans or the defense department can do in order to accommodate the film industry. So that we know that at the end of the day, what we are gaining opportunities that our people will be able to exploit in their own right. So this is an opportunity. And in that, I think that's where I stop. But I want to say thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Thank you very much. The process that we shall follow, guests and honorable members, for those who have made public presentations before, would not, as members of parliament, would be able to engage. And then all other stakeholders who are here to make public presentations, they will then take notes on everybody who's making presentations here. And once they are done with their own presentation, they'll make a comment. It's unfortunate because this is how the process works in this mode of the institution. So it would be members who be able to engage. And the opportunity that you get as and when you present, you can be able to or raise issues with some of the presentations which have taken place before you actually make your own. I can open to honorable members for questions and comments.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And I would also say thanks to the presenter. But I just want to ask certain questions so that maybe at the end of the day one is clarified and everyone in this room is clarified. I just want to know as to whether this production is operating independently. That is number one. And I just want to know again as to whether they work together with the Advisory Board on Military Veterans Affairs. And firstly, I just want to know as to whether the Veteran Association nationally is in the know of this production. And maybe that's the chairperson. I just want to know who are the partners, because I heard the presenter saying that they are in sort of a partnership. Maybe if I misquote him, he will correct me. In a partnership with some international countries. For instance, he made a mention of Czechoslovakia and the like. And also, I would want to know, or maybe to be clarified on his benefit to those partners and to what other military veterans are benefiting out of such a partnership. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
We are just taking a few questions. You can just note them down.
Thank you, Chair. It is a very beautiful presentation on adventure. The presenter mentioned that he wants to protect the veterans and also let them acquire some skills. But I want to latch on to what the previous question asked, and that is the benefits. More specifically, the financial benefits to the veterans. We know that our veterans get very poor pensions. Some get, some not. But my question is, how will he ensure the production house? How will he ensure that the money won't flow into the coffers of those who are rich and those who are poor? The veteran doesn't benefit from that. If there is a mechanism in place to ensure that the money will flow to the veterans and not those coppers of the rich. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I want to also thank for this important presentation. Talking about the Chairman, I would like to know as to how many or the number of the veterans and the presenter has already attracted and accommodated.
Okay, Chief, those are some of the questions. Can I just give a few things to you? With respect to the use, yeah, you can switch it on. With respect to the use of military equipment, probably the defense force will be able to clarify that in the 1950s. The equipment of the military may not be used, or it may be used under certain circumstances, or it may be used under certain guidelines. Our AMDF officials are here to be able to clarify. And the second issue is that the defense force itself may not be able to invoice a private company for the use of premises for the use of this equipment. So that's one issue. And then also with respect to the issue of the security pertaining to the bases, either whether it's the head of state, the military base, or the navy base. So with respect to the issue of security, the ATMDF becomes a bit conservative in allowing credits to be shot in those premises. Now, the idea itself, if it is taken further and explored further, it might be a venture that does affirm and also contribute in the operation of the veterans. But only if the veterans are able, for instance, to establish themselves as an agent, which will be able to come to a venture, joint venture, together with your company. But in the absence of that, it would be really difficult to find out how the veterans would be able to benefit. Because once a company of veteran forces is up and running with respect to the veterans, and they provide the personnel. Because I think one other consideration is that you cannot be able to use the present military personnel that is currently active. So you can only be able to use the active members of the SANDF who are veterans. So it means in essence it can become a viable option which would benefit the veterans only if certain considerations are met, like the comfort of veterans and the identification of sites and equipment where the filming is and probably shots of the snapshots of the matches of the current forms. Because we do get videos of the machine every time when we get one. So those I don't think have got any security in them. So those are footages which can be used in our service. But the rider is that one that all benefits and how are the veterans benefits have been. If you could round up this question very quickly. And if the SAMDF wishes to make a comment or two, they will be welcome as well. Sir, thank you.
Through you, Shabbat's intention, and also thank everybody for this wonderful question. Just to start from you, Shabbat, from your comment, and then I'll go along answering them. Of course, in terms of opportunities, we are looking military veterans, specifically military veterans, to exploit the opportunities. Yes, it is. It can be a viable business, but I think it's a very serious business. I think it's really it's a very serious business. And really, the question of benefits. Of course, once you work within the industry, you'll be able to benefit, like as a worker. But of course, when I have this dream, I have this dream on a development point of view. I always think, okay, how can you grow the cake so that all of us can cut the slice that you want to cut? Because you bake the cake to be so huge. In such a way, if you want to cut a quarter, you can cut a quarter, and then another one can cut a quarter. But it's not a question that it's all about your efforts. Earlier on, I've mentioned the control and management, and it's very important. So also the question of an entity of the military veterans, like I said that really, when I first presented this idea, the military veterans, like I said, 90% of the military veterans were in that meeting, which we had in Joburg. Then I was in Cape Town, I had to fly to Joburg using my expenses, my time and everything. I went to Joburg on my own, and then I presented the idea, and the idea was really well welcomed. But like I've said, that it's still a work in progress, because at the moment we don't have like a plan of a structure. It's a work in progress, but it's something that we all have to look at it. Why I'm saying so, because like I said, that I mean the commercials or the season is going to start in the next 5 months, but we are not going to be ready in the next 5 months. We have to be ready to start the market now. There's going to be a Lion Cannes, which is happening in France. Most of the commercial producers from big studios are there. So those are the platforms that we have to look at them, and then we exploit in terms of spreading the web. Again, in November, we've got Tengi, which is happening in Cape Town. All the producers of the world will come down. Normally, they will have about 1,500 cities that are coming. So it's an opportunity. Again, yes. There's a question that also I think I'm still answering your questions. The question of maybe the DOD may not use the equipment or may not, or on condition, I think that's the reason that I'm here. I think it's something that also all of us must come up with, and then we discuss the possibilities of keeping this project off the ground. But also to answer the question that how military veterans are going to be accommodated. Like I said that in the database, all the military veterans are for skills. And if you find out that, okay, you specialize in these skills, like for instance, the special effects in the module. The special effects, most of the people that are doing special effects, I mean, are the people that are from the military. They know everything about explosives. And you cannot go and do the special effects if you don't have a certificate of doing that. So those are the opportunities, and for people that we trained in the past years during the struggle days, that they can be able to play to do these effects. So like I said, that if you need a person to fly in a chopper, for those people in the database, so automatically for them it's an opportunity. And yes, the question of I've mentioned the question of transformation. All these structures, we at the time that the Minister President Obama was the Minister of Arts and Culture, I think that was in 1996. Whatever that I'm implementing is from her speech. She was really emphasizing the question of transformation within the industry. And that's why we had a document of cultural growth industry, and that document again influences the setting up of the National Film Video Foundation in 1997. And even from then, we have what we call the Black Filmmakers specifically. finally know, in order to grow the Cape, we know that, okay, let's set up the Cape Film Commissioner. Cape Film Commissioner, when it was set up, it was on our agenda. But believe me, it was a question of follow-up. Sometimes you set up structures and then don't do follow-up, and you just lose control and management. So that's my experience. And the question of control and management is something that is very important, because without control and management, you cannot deliver. So, yes, turning to the web is in the structures of the military veteran. I think all the structures of the military veteran in the past 4 years have managed the same information that, I mean, everybody is distributing to be. I think, I mean, it's familiar. They receive that document more than 2 times. So it shows that the question of lobby and the consultation really has been something that we've been doing for the past 4 years. And Kennedy Zula can say, we know this project. Gerard Neal, I've pitched Gerard Fabrisberg. I mean, I've been really networking with people. And people, they said, no. Also, you know, there's a cable network in state about the military veterans. I mean, that was their own television station. So, really, it shows that it's something that we can be able to take it off the ground and can create opportunities, a number of opportunities. SABC now, I mean, it has, they are calling for submission for stations. It may be in a position of being really organized. You say that, okay, we need a cabling network for military veterans in order to expose our projects in order also the corporate world to see what we are doing, and then they can be able also to put in money. So there's a lot of opportunities that are there, and those opportunities are not limited, are unlimited.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kina. I'm not sure if the members of the ATDS will be able to comment.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, in principle, what you stated, we support it, that we are not very much in favor to use military facilities for film making due to certain sensitivities. But military equipment can be used once authorized, and it needs to go through an authorization process, and every case will be handled on its own merits.
Mr. Nina, we wish to thank you for your submission, and members here have listened to what you have said and have taken note, and then all other stakeholders who are here, mostly particularly the veterans, have heard what you have said. Because of time, we wish to thank you and try to move very quickly to our next presentation. We will call upon Mr. Nobel from the World Veterans Federation. The third person would be from the NKVA. We have national representation from the NKVA. Is there anybody from the national office? Yeah. Okay. Then we'll have the national office before we start the process. Thank you. Mr. Nova?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, honorable members of the Standing Committee, for the opportunity to be able to say a few words about the World Veterans Federation. May I tell you that I have reported to the Executive Board...
Can we repeat the issue of the phones? Can we switch them off, please? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I just want to say the Executive Board of the World Veterans Federation is aware of this meeting today and sends their best regards to the Joint Standing Committee. Honourable Chair, I have prepared a PowerPoint presentation which is very complete and very thorough and unfortunately very long. But respecting your request that we should keep it to the 20 minutes, I'm only going to use some of the slides. I will make available to Mr. Johnny Ranrock the full presentation, and he can make it available to members if they want to have more detailed information. May I then immediately go to the third slide, please. The World Veterans Federation was founded in 1950 after the Second World War and has been in existence since then, and gradually grew and today consists of
171 organizations all over the world, representing 91 countries, and in total, 35,000 military veterans. The whole philosophy is summed up in the words of the Nobel Peace Prize winner, which is on the screen now, which was the words of Ralph Bunche, and I've summarized it there by the introductory words, where he said, "None can speak more eloquently for peace than those who have fought in war. The voices of war veterans are a reflection of the longing for peace of people of the world over who within a generation have twice suffered the unspeakable tragedy of world wars." And since then, obviously, if we look at the history since 1950, there have been many, many other conflicts which have contributed very much to the suffering. Next one, please. In the preamble to its constitution, the World Federation makes the following statement. It says, "We, the war veterans who have fought for the right of self-determination of peoples and so that men might live in peace, resolve to unite in order to aid in the realization of the aims which the United Nations have formulated in its charter." I think most of you are familiar with it. I'm just summarizing it there. "To maintain international peace and security, to develop friendly relations among nations based on the respect for the principle of equal rights and self-determination, to achieve international cooperation, and to be a center for harmonizing the actions." Next one, please. You'll see there is some detail there about how you become a member and what the aims and objectives are. I'm not going to refer to that in any detail, but simply say that in South Africa, the Council of Military Veterans Organizations was established in 1976, and since 1990 it has become a member of the World Veterans Federation. It attended the first meeting in 1990 and was elected to membership in 1993. We will talk about that a little bit later again. Next one. The functions of the world body is really contained in a general assembly of all the member nations and all the member associations, which takes place once every 3 years. Now, most of my colleagues here, my comrades here, will remember that South Africa hosted the General Assembly of the World Veterans Federation in 2003, which was quite a memorable occasion, and where we were allowed to have 200 military veterans of the country to sit in as observers, apart from the official delegation of South Africa, which contained representatives of the CNVO and the MKNVA and Upper NVA. Now, I will refer back to that again because I had some bearing on what happened in South Africa since then. Next one. You will notice that there are a number of standing committees that are arranged according to the regions of the world, and there's the Standing Committee on African Affairs, which I am now the chairman of, and I will refer to the African countries that are involved. But there's also a standing committee on women, which deals with the issue of women and children as the victims of war. And these standing committees are responsible for looking at the entire region under their control and to report back to the General Assembly about conditions. Now, without elaborating too much, Honourable Chairman, you will realize that the African countries that belong to the world body have major issues that needs to be dealt with urgently. And I think the important point that I want to make out is that they're all looking towards South Africa and what South Africa does with regards to military veterans as the leading country on the African continent. Next one. Just a word about the role of the Vice President, which is also the Chairman of the Standing Committee.
The Vice President must convey the Executive Board of the World Federation what happens in Africa for a reason. Again, I am the Director of Responsibility to report back to the Executive Committee on what is happening in South Africa. It's very fast.
houses, visit me, this is basically the guiding for veterans. And I'm not saying, I'm not suggesting